Welcome to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. I'm your host, Dan Decker. This podcast is dedicated to providing my books in full, unabridged audio format. Look for new episodes every Tuesday. Now, on with the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Dan Decker Books Podcast. This week, we are continuing to read Blood Games. Last week, we read. I growled. If you think I'm behind it, why are you talking with me? Jolene shook her head. It looks so much like you. Not a hint of the editing that went into it. You have to see that. It's like I am looking at a mirror, I said, through clenched teeth. I was not about to say what she wanted me to say. I would lose ground if they needed to hear that it was not me from my own mouth. Of course it's not you, Jake, Maxine said, making a shooing motion to Jolene. Figure out the location of that building. Jolene swallowed. It might be too late. Go. Now. And now, episode 6. I went to the conference room door, intent on getting out of the building as quick as possible. Why was Reed taking aim at his own company? He had just changed his strategy, and I needed to figure out why. The statement from the fake me that Data Raider had been naughty made me think Reed was about to aim a terrorist attack at his own company. It was a bold move that made me wonder about his motives. I had assumed he had targeted Digon to push down the price of their shares to leverage a better deal for the acquisition, which made sense if they had planned to pay him in stock. He was upping the ante by attacking his own company. Was he trying to direct suspicion away from him? The thought resonated with me. If I were him, it was what I would do if somebody were getting close to figuring out what I was doing. His efforts had not worked on me, and I hadn't even done him damage. That meant I might not be the only person who was on to him. If there were somebody else that suspected Reed, they hopefully would be smart enough to see through the ruse. Or maybe he's trying to get some free publicity of his own, I wondered. I would have to check the popularity of his FaceRec app. This could just be an effort to goose lackluster downloads. I like to think there was somebody else out there working on getting at Reed. If I could team up with such a person, we would have a better chance of taking him down. All I have to do is get close enough to put a bullet in his head, I thought, as I grabbed the door handle. Who's behind this, Jake? Chris asked, latching onto my arm and trying to pull me back into the room. I shook her off me. I don't know. You have your suspicions, Maxine said. It was not a question. I do. I looked at each of them, but I have no proof and I'm not going to waste time arguing about it. I have to put a stop to this. How? Maxine asked. Are you going to shoot another unarmed man on television for the whole world to see? That video did not show everything, I said. While it did show me shooting an unarmed man, it didn't show me taking the gun away from him. That was not the only thing that had been edited. Reed's people had made it look like Sam had just come around the corner before I'd shot him. Tell us what we missed. I shook my head. Maybe another time. We will take it on faith for now, Chris said. I looked around the office, shaking my head. It was decorated to show a woman's touch. Despite the times Chris and Maxine had helped me, the thought of bringing my problems to Maxine's doorstep made me sick. She seemed a decent person who did not need to get mixed up with the likes of me. Not to mention, I still didn't know what she wanted. Even if I did tell them what was going on, Maxine couldn't have had more than a few private security guards. She had said herself her resources were limited. If they started poking around Data Raider, Reed would not hesitate to come after them. I had risked Chris too much already by asking her to look into the disappearance of the two kids. I was not only hopeful she would turn off information that I could not, but also that she wouldn't draw Reed's attention. I'm going, I said, pulling the door open. Wait, Maxine said. She could have said it in a commanding tone, but she did not. She struck me as the sort of a woman who was accustomed to telling people what to do and having them follow her orders. But that was not how she asked. It was a plea. I turned, despite my desire to be long gone. Maxine's mouth worked, but nothing came out. She looked like a trapped animal. I suspected it had something to do with the real reason why she wanted to talk to me, but she didn't look any closer to telling me what that was. She had already wasted too much of my time, so I left. She called out again, but this time I did not stop. I had been afraid of learning Chris worked for an amoral executive like Peck. My brief experience with Maxine told me that was not the case. It was also clear, to her credit, that she wasn't the battle-hardened man Beltran had been. Maxine was cut from a different cloth. Jolene looked out from her office as I passed. If she was surprised to see me unescorted, she did not say or do anything. As she looked back at her computer, I could tell she still thought I might have been behind the video. You and everybody else in this city, I thought, as I passed through the lobby and to the elevators. I took the stairs. The exercise would do me good, and I didn't want to be trapped in an elevator if I could avoid it. That had been part of my Black Brick training. We take the stairs because we don't relinquish control to anyone or anything, Beltran had said. After spending close to a decade with the man, it was very hard to get away from the lessons he had pounded into my head. It irked me every time I remembered one, making me want to do the opposite. The problem was that most of what I had learned made sense, so I followed through with my training, begrudging the fact that Beltran had been the one to teach me. I traversed the stairs at close to a run and ducked into the men's restroom on the first floor. I waited for a man to wash his hands and leave before approaching the mirror to examine my disguise. It was still intact, but I made a few quick alterations, wishing I had taken the extra time earlier to do a more thorough job. That was something to remember next time I was caught in a similar position. Chris pulling me out of the fray had been a surprise. I pulled off my jacket and threw it into the trash. After that, I put on a red ball cap. As I opened the door, Chris walked right past me. She glanced my way but did not stop. I followed her out of the building, smug in the knowledge that she had not noticed me. "Tell your boss I won't work for her," I whispered into her ear. "Ever." Chris spun around, her hand forming a fist as if she were about to lash out at me. She stopped from carrying through with the threat. People were coming and going all around us, and she wouldn't have been able to do it without drawing their attention, something both of us wanted to avoid, but her more than me. "You're in a precarious situation," she said. "We can help. But at what cost to you, Maxine and Franz Flowers? You're in over your..." "Don't you dare say it," she said. "We have been busting our butts to keep you safe. Who found Shannon? Who got the information on your mother? Showed you what kind of man Beltran was? Your people aren't ready for warfare." I lowered my voice to a whisper. "That's what this is. War. More blood will follow before this is all over. I don't need to team up with a bunch of people who think this is all a game. This is real. I have killed people, and I'm going to kill more people before it's done." "You don't have to fight this alone," she said. "I'm not going to be responsible for what happens to you," I said, interrupting her. "This isn't right, Jake," she said. "We can help. We're better manned and trained than you give us credit for." I left without responding.
That's it for this week. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Tune in next week for another installment of the Dan Decker Books Podcast. One last thing before you go. Sign up for my newsletter at dandeckerbooks.com, and you will receive a free ebook copy of War of the Fathers. The text, audio, and music for this show are all copyrighted by Dan Decker. All rights reserved. This podcast is published by Xander Revolutions, LLC.